Go on, white boy. Go on with your
Even
bad
lip
self.
syncing it, that had to be uncomfortable in that room with that dude.
What if they're like, all right, like that's like a casting call, for unpaid work, and they're like, listen, you have to be really comfortable with calling a black person the N-word to his
Sign
face.
me up. That's what
Hey, right here, man. Hey,
they
I'm your guy. I don't
stay
even
in
know why you got to
my
see no man. Hey, man, that's me. I got it on my resume.
You're shitting me, right?
You should, wait.
Come on now. Don't be
I do
nothing.
it for free. I do it for free. You ain't got to pay me nothing. I'll give you $20. Let me do it.
You're tuned in to Totally Unrelated. Enjoy.
All right, and we're back. I'm sitting here with Doug Morgan. He's found this interesting video online. Doug, who is the author of this video?
It says Joyner Lucas. It's a musician, band, a rapper. I'm guessing.
And what's the theme of this?
It is about
Don't even tell me what's
what
the
would be the
name of the
theme?
song?
The name of the song is "I'm Not a Racist," I
I'm not a
believe.
racist. And this is like scorching all of Facebook and social media right now. Everyone's talking about it.
It's got 19.1 million
Is
views.
that all? I thought it was like important or something.
Right.
So what we're gonna do is we're gonna listen to it. We're gonna watch it, but you guys are gonna listen to it, and then we're gonna critique it. All right, yeah, just set that down. Oh, it looks like Jeff Tate. He's wearing a hat that says "Make America Great Again," but I don't think that's sanctioned. I don't think that's official. I don't think that's licensed. No, I don't think that's licensed. All right, go ahead, play.
With all due respect, I don't have pity for you black niggas. That's the way I feel. Screaming "Black Lives Matter," all the black guys
You can
rather be
back up a
dead
little bit.
beats than pay your
Right
bills.
there, right there.
Yelling "nigga this" and "nigga that," call everybody "nigga" and get a nigga mad. As soon as I say "nigga," then everyone react and want to swing at me and call me racist because I ain't black. Compound that then. Talking about slavery like you was around back then. Like you was picking cotton off the fucking ground back then. Like you was on the plantation getting down back then. I see a black man aiming his gun, but I'd rather see a black man claiming his son. And I don't mean just for one day and you done. I mean, you still trapped in a rut. And I work my ass off and pay my taxes for what? So you can keep living on free government assistance, food stamps for your children, but you still trying to sell them for some weed and some liquor or a fucking babysitter while you party on the road because you ain't got no fucking goals? You already late. You motherfuckers need to get your damn priorities straight. Wait. It's like you're proud to be fake, but you lazy as fuck. And you rather sell drugs and get a job and be straight. And then you turn around and complain about the poverty rate. Fuck out of my face. You can't escape problems. You can pray for some change, but can't break a dollar. Got nobody else to blame, so you blame Donald. He fucked the world with a Make America Great condom. My boy's been back. I'm not racist. My sister's boyfriend's black. I'm not racist. My sister-in-law's baby cousin Tracy got a brother and his girlfriend's black. My head's in the cloud. Heard there's not enough jobs for all the men in your house. Maybe we should build a wall to keep the Mexicans out. Or maybe we should send them all to the ghetto for now. I'm not racist. And I never lie, but I think there's a disconnect between your culture and mine. I worship the Einsteins, study the Steve Jobs, but you ride Tupac's dick like he was a fucking god. Oh my god. And all you care about is rapping and stunting and being ratchet. And that's the nigga within you. Music rotting your brain and slowly start to convince you. Then you let your kids listen and then the cycle continues. Blame it all on the menu. Blame it on those drinks. Blame it on everybody except for your own race. Blame it on white privileges. Blame it on white kids. And just blame it on white citizens. Aim it the vice president. Bunch of class clowns. Niggas kneeling on the field. That's a flag down. How dare you try to make demands for this money? You gonna show us some respect. You gonna stand for this country, nigga. I'm not racist. I'm just prepared for this type of war. I heard Eminem's rap at the awards. Who's he fighting for? Y'all can take that motherfucker too. He ain't white no more. It's like you want to be so famous. You'll do anything for attention and a little payment. I can't take you nowhere without people pointing fingers. Pants hanging off your ass. You ain't got no home training. Put your fucking pants up, nigga. Put that suit back on. Take that do-rag off. Take that coat out your mouth. Quit the pitiful stuff. And then maybe police will stop killing you fucks. Yo, what the fuck? I'm not racist. It's like we're living in the same building but split into two floors. I'm not racist. But there's two sides of every story. I wish that I knew yours. I wish that I knew yours. I'm not racist. I swear. disrespect. I don't really like you white motherfuckers. That's just where I'm at. Screaming all lives matter is a protest to my protest. What kind of shit is that? And that's one war you'll never win. The power in the word nigga is a different sin. We shouldn't say it, but we do, and that's just what it is. But that don't mean that you can say it just cause you got nigga friends. Nigga, that word was originated for you to keep us under. And when we use it, we know that's just how we greet each other. And when you use it, we know there's a double meaning under. And even if I wasn't picking cotton physically, that don't mean I'm not infected by the history. My grandmama was a slave, that shit gets to me. And you ain't got no motherfucking sympathy, you pussy nigga. I'm sorry, you can never fill my life. Trying to have faith, but I never feel alright. It's hard to elevate when this country's ran by whites. Judging me by my skin color and my blackness. Trying to find a job, but ain't nobody call me back yet. Now I gotta sell drugs to put food in my cabinet. You crackers ain't slick, this is all a part of your tactics. Don't talk about no motherfucking taxes. When I ain't making no dough, you think you know everything, but you don't. You wanna copy our slang and everything that we know. Try to steal black culture and make it your own. Whoa. Fuck, I'm exhausted. I can't even drive without the cops trying to start shit. I'm tired of this systematic racism bullshit. All you do is false shit. This the shit that I'm false with. And you don't know shit about my people. That's what bothers you. You don't know about no fried chicken and no barbecue. You don't know about the two-step or no loose change. You don't know about no two chains or no Kool-Aid. You don't know. And even though Barack was half as black, you hated President Obama. I know that's a fact. You can't wait to get him out and put a cracker back. And then you gave us Donald Trump, and I was payback for that. I'm not racist. I never lied, but I noticed a disconnect between your culture and mine. Yeah, I praised Tupac like he was a fucking god. He was fighting for his life way before he fucking died, nigga. Die, nigga. And all you care about is money and power and being ugly. And that's the cracker within you. Hatred all in your brain and slowly start to convince you. Then you teach it to your children until the cycle continue. Blaming on Puerto Rico. Blaming on OJ. Blaming on everybody except for your own race. Blaming on black niggas and blaming on black citizens. Aim at the black businesses. I ain't saying I'm innocent, but I might be any day now, treating everybody how you want in any way how. I swear North Korea about to bomb us any day now. And now I'm ducking every time I hear a fucking plane now. Shit. You know I make a lot of sense, but you just can't admit it. When Eminem went against Trump, that was the illest. Cause even though he's white, he let us know he's standing with us. I'm not racist, but I cry a lot. You don't know what it's like to be in a frying pot. You don't know what it's like to mind your business and get stopped by the cops. And I know if you about to die or not. You worry about your life, so you take mine. I love you, but I fucking hate you at the same time. I wish we could trade shoes or we could change lives so we can understand each other more, but that'd take time. I'm not racist. It's like we living in the same building but split into both sides. I'm not racist. But there's two sides to every story, and now you know mine. Can't erase the scars with a bandage. Hoping maybe we can come to an understanding. Agree to disagree, we can have an understanding. I'm not racist.
Well,
pretty deep.
Yeah, you know, I think it's So, for visual, for people that are never going to go look that up, or if you do, I suggest you do because it's visually simple, but it's a big white guy. It's a white guy rapping the whole time.
He's a hell of a rapper.
He's a hell of a rapper.
He does and not. That's,
so that's kind of what I was
cover,
left
bro.
With.
That was.
Yeah, I was like, well, he's so good at rapping. He's so good at, he's like such a good rapist. Why is he do? I guess my issue is that that's not that unique. A white guy who gets it.
But that's not it's not a white rapper, is it? I was joking about that because he's lip syncing. I was saying that the white guy in the video. I don't think that's.
Oh, we got to figure. You know, I assumed he was the rapper. No. I assumed the black guy was lip syncing. Oh, what if this is a trick?
There's no. Yeah, no
What's
way
the
that
name?
That's the dude.
What's the name of the rapper? That's a white rapper's voice. I don't care what.
I thought so too. I thought it kind of sounded like Eminem.
What's the guy's
a little
name
bit.
Again? Darnellius. Okay. What was
Joy,
it?
Joy. I gotta find it again. Dang it.
Oh, we're both on it.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't do any research after I saw it. Like I said, when I first came in here, I just mentioned it to you, and we just went straight to it. So, no really time to research it. I was watching it at home. With all due Joyner Lucas.
Joyner Lucas.
I did not even check. I'm going to his page. You go to his page? Yeah.
No, no. Oh, wow. What a weird situation.
Nah, he's a black dude.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, no way he could. Oh, if he was a white dude doing that, that would have been a little.
Is he the black dude in the video?
I don't think so. By the cover, here's what he looks. Of course, he's covering his head, so you can't see his full face.
Oh, I mean, he's got black features. He's like, I got black features.
Right. He may have, you know, he may be mixed. I don't know, but he's definitely not white.
I'm not racist. I just only like people who look and think like me. Oh, okay, wait a minute. Who is this? This is him in a HuffPost. Oh, man. I'm not buying that picture, Doug.
You don't think that's him?
I'm looking at pictures, images.
Yeah, when I seen that, when I first started watching, I was like, dang, this white dude is
Joyner Lucas?
Throwing out
is that
the
what his name?
N-word like it's candy.
Joyner Lucas?
Joyner Lucas, yeah. But then you see it's just a video, you know, he's just lip syncing. They're both lip syncing.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
he did a good job.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely not just white, if he is white at all. He looked mixed in a motherfucker. Holla, mixedy dixty. Well, that's interesting then, because I'm looking at it the whole time thinking that the big white, there's like an overweight white guy with a shirt tucked in.
He was the rap. Did
and he's wearing a Make America Great Again hat. I thought he was the rapper. He sounds, that's interesting because I was thinking he sounds like Eminem and right. He sounds almost too much like Eminem to be white. Nothing about the way he was rapping or what he was rapping about, other than the fact that he says the N-word as much as I like to.
Yeah. Well, when I seen his body, and you know, unfortunately, I was judging this crap out of him. He's a big, you know, his big belly. But when you just see his face when he first starts rapping,
that's more interesting than anything. Is that you and I both saw a different guy rapping? You're like, well, clearly he's not. No white guy would use such gratuitous use of the N-word.
Right. I would have been very. Yeah, I would have. That's when I knew. I was like, no way, this is a.
Oh, wow. You know what? That's funny because here I am discrediting it for having it be like a white guy who gets it, but it's really a black guy who gets it.
Right.
Which.
From both sides, though. He says some interesting things on both things that, in my opinion, that.
And it's interesting that I would even think to discredit, not even discredit it, but to downplay it or anything like that because there is an overabundance. I would say I wouldn't say an overabundance. There's plenty of white guys who get it that let us know they get it. It's almost, that's the trope, I guess, that I'm kind of railing against.
Right.
But black guys who get it, who let us know they get it, are at a minority. But the reality of the situation is more white people kind of need to get it in general. Doug, you're...
My doorbell's ringing.
Is that what? Is that the pizza delivery guy who's got a hole cut in the bottom of the box? Yeah. So I guess it's like I'm mad that more. And to be honest, I'm just being proven wrong because it was a black guy who gets it, and that's something that probably more black guys I think I wish would rap about or whatever. And there he is doing it, and I'm like, oh well, if he's a white guy, it doesn't count.
Yeah, I mean that's an interesting. I didn't think,
but it does. It does count.
It does, but it's definitely different. It's coming from a different perspective. When I first heard it, I'm like, "Oh, there are going to be people on the Trump side." See, that's right. He understands all he's saying about what black people are doing. You know, there are some, you know, stereotypical truths to that. But then he goes onto the other side and is like, "Yeah, but bam, take this."
See, I kind of felt like he didn't really answer the questions or complaints that he brought up. At least not as word for word. Okay, so like the song, it seemed like he spent 4 minutes railing against black people and 2 minutes the black guy kind of defending himself.
Yeah.
And it's a 7-minute song, so maybe I've got my math wrong. But
I think it's fairly equal, but it just came out.
Well, I will
he
say
came out the gate probably.
I will say that the black guy in the video displayed more acts of violence and aggression, whereas he like knocked the table over, knocked the guy's hat off.
Right.
And the white guy... Well, he did call him a nigger to his face several times, and that was like, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Go on, white boy.
Even,
go on with your
even
bad
lip syncing it, that had to be uncomfortable in that room with that dude.
What if they're like, all right, like that's like a casting call. you know, for unpaid work, and they're like, "Listen, you have to be really comfortable with calling a black person the N-word to his
Sign
face."
Me up. That's what.
Hey, right here, man. Hey, right, I'm your guy.
But
I don't even know why
life.
You got to see no man. Hey, man, that's me. I got it on my resume.
You're shitting me, right?
Wait.
Come on now. Don't be.
I do it for free. You ain't got to pay me nothing. Nah, I'll give you $20. Let me do it.
Oh shit.
Yeah, that, and I like the fact that the black guy, because that's something I've always kind of contended. I think I did it in my first comedic set, was that black people will call white people the N-word, but it's usually like a foreshadowing of something really horrific. You know what I mean? If a black person is at a point in a conversation with you where it's never like, "Oh yeah, Doug, he's my nigga." I mean, it might be like that. Doug, my nigga. Yeah, that's Doug. Oh yeah, Doug. Oh, Doug Morgan. That's my nigga. You know, right. But more often, if they're like calling you that, like, "What'd you say, nigga?"
Right.
No. What, nigga? Like, it's like, you're like, shit's about to get real.
It's about to be on.
If I go colorblind, shit's about to get real.
Yeah, you're not going to say, yeah, that's not going
to. And then I wonder how much of that is like a pro protagonist or an antagonist or whatever, like to like try to get you to be like, "Now wait a minute, I didn't call you a nigger." Pop, you know,
right.
You said it. You heard him say nigger, right? You can't even say it. You can't even fix your mouth like that. Well, that's an interesting video, Doug. Thanks for sharing it. In fact, I think, yeah, I just proved my own racism and how far I have not evolved, even though I am, for all intents and purposes, biracial. And you've struggled with wanting to be black most of your life.
I mean, this comes natural to me, buddy.
What the fuck?
I came out the vagina, just doing the electric slide straight out the womb, bro.
That one with the extra beat clap and the claps.
I did a step show out that vagina. Just,
yeah, well,
hold my umbilical cord like.
I think that says more about your mom than it does you.
A lot of room in here, mom. You sure I ain't black?
You want me to bring this lights and PA system out too?
Is it disco ball up here?
What about my dance teacher? He's been in here for a long time. Well, him was here when I was just a zygote. Well, it's great having you back on the cast. Second time, Doug Morgan.
Yeah.
You were on in the early days, I think, somewhere in the like 30th episode or something, maybe.
Yeah, second shelf. We were at the second shelf.
That's
second
right.
Shelf.
You were slinging and slanging deals.
Some deals, man. You want that? Hey, deals. I'll get that sock for a quarter. What you want? I'll get to mate next month.
That was the best part, was kind of watching you look over like 14 or 15 items and be like, how about 89 cents?
Right, like what I was talking about. You know what? We normally get these.
Look, I can't get anything less than 34 cents for this record player. I got 33 cents into it, so I got to make at least I got to show a profit. Otherwise, the tax man is going to come down here. He's going to shut us down.
Right, now, this sit and spin has had very little asses on it, so we need to sell this. It's not worn down a bit. I can get at least $350.
It's got zero diarrhea.
No
All the
stains.
Puke. It's got five different DNA sequences for puke on it, but that's a sit and spin. What do you expect?
We get unclean microwaves. I'm like, I'm not cleaning. I will give you a discount so you can take it home and clean it. I'm not going to clean it. It's just,
wow. It's you give the purchaser.
Yeah, be like, look, it's dirty. So instead of 30, I'm going to give it to you for 20 because I know you're going to have to go home and scrub this thing.
Right.
Instead of me sitting here scrubbing it and then charging you 30, it's more worth it for me to do other things like moving stuff around. So like, now I'm not going to sell something that's like just
caked on.
Yeah, or moldy.
Looks like
or
a
nasty.
Freezer.
Right.
Like one of those.
But
freezers
if it's like
ice.
Something I look in there and be like, this is not spick and span. But you know what? You pass that along to the
That's
old.
Really interesting. I never thought about that, but you can tell a lot about somebody just in their house by how clean the inside of their microwave is.
Oh, yeah. That's such a, because it's so easily hidden.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just easy to throw something in there and not worry about cleaning it because it still works the same. You're not really getting
And you're like, I'm
the germs are getting
radiating it. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. There's nothing's living through that.
Right.
But then to like think about how much effort you put into cleaning out something that you're going to give away. So,
right.
Like, when I take something to Goodwill, I always have washed those clothes. But the first thing they're going to do with them is wash them again, right?
Right,
yeah,
right.
So I wonder what it is in me that's like, it's like cleaning out the inside of your trash,
yeah,
you know, like rinsing out the milk and and breaking down boxes and all that other stuff. I mean, I do break down the boxes because I do believe in reducing. And I was also a stock boy, first job I ever had. We're at nursing home, breaking down boxes.
But we had to have a race to see who could break down a box. I can break a box down.
I'll tell you this. I thought I knew how to break a box down. And then one day, my mom was like, hey, check those guys out. We're at Kroger, back when Kroger in Fairborn was on Dayton Yellow in Fairborn proper. Not halfway to Yeller Springs like it is now. But they were, like, doing it in a different way. I was doing it some sort of way where I was, like, pushing in one side, pulling the tape across.
Right, right.
And then these guys, like, would push it against their chest and have the tape ripped off as they were shooting it off their chest. I was like, oh, I've just been exposed to the next level of the game. I thought I was sweet at it because I'd never seen the competition. But then you see the competition and suddenly you're like, oh, that's how we do it. It's almost like how in motocross, the first guy to do a backflip in like the X Games or whatever, the next year, if you didn't have a backflip, don't even show up.
Right.
You know, and then a guy does a double backflip and then a front flip. I mean, they've got
no hand front flip. Yeah, come on. Dude.
It's like once somebody creates a trick, now everybody's got to learn that trick or else why bother showing up? And that's what it was with, I mean, and I'm saying that's how I know I could be a motocross racer because of my box breaking down experience. It makes perfect sense.
They go hand in hand.
It makes perfect sense if you think about it. Breaking down boxes, double backflip, letting go of the wheel on a motorcycle.
That's a whole podcast worth of information.
It gets tiring trying to explain to people sometimes how awesome I am at everything that I've never done before. But I feel like that's my mixed privilege. You know,
you deserve it, man.
I feel like
I'm just a white guy. I can't say anything.
I feel like I know that I'm good at a lot of things I've never tried before.
We should have done a ping pong cast.
For instance, I just got my ass handed to me the other day.
By who?
This guy I know who's got a really nice table. It makes our table look like we're like the little rascals.
Like you got it from my store.
Yeah, like it came from the second shelf. Yeah. But the beauty about that table is that it's like 50, 60 years old or something like that.
That one is?
Yeah, it's old, dude.
No kidding.
I mean, it might only be 30 or 40 years old.
Still, I didn't think, yeah.
But they don't make them like that anymore.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like, it's got metal, real metal. You know, a lot of them has plastic parts and stuff like that. And the net's not the same. And I'm sure the wood's all warped and probably doesn't respond the way it's supposed to. Plus, my dude has, like, his cheapest paddle's probably like $50.
So it's everything.
Everything
state
is just,
of the, yeah,
yeah, it's state of the art. But
aerodynamic.
It was, I played him close, but he plays ping pong by the real rules, you know.
Got to serve on one side from one side to the other,
The
right?
serve is always open, but it's by twos to 11. So it's you get two serves, I get two serves, you get two serves, I get two serves. And you only play to 11, win by two.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he beat me 3 games in a row. But the biggest beat was 11-8.
Oh, so it was pretty.
It wasn't like I was getting spanked,
right.
But it was also
skunk? The 7-0 skunk.
I think that's another one of those house rules. I don't think that's part of the official nomenclature.
I don't know any. I really don't know the official rules at all.
Most people probably don't.
Yeah, it's never been. It's just like play.
Yeah, pain. I just know I'm way better than you.
Except for the last time we played.
You did. Yeah, I told him. I even said, I said, the last time I played, I got skunked by a guy, but then I went on to beat him like 3 or 4 times in a row. So it was
that never happened that night.
I broke his arm with one of my returns. he tried to put his paddle out, and it was just like compound fracture,
right,
like in like an over the top. Remember an over the top? arm wrestling?
Yeah.
His arm breaks. That's what. Well, we might have to bust out the ping pong now that we've got these racial tensions going. Did you hear? Do you watch the news at all?
I've been a little bit more lately.
You know who Matt Lauer is?
I did hear about that.
What the hell?
I know who he is. Like, I don't watch today very
much,
I realize he's been on there for like 20 years. I heard the two women talking about it, the two reporters.
Yeah, that are with him.
I forget their names, but they were like emotional. That has to be a tough situation. Someone you've worked with for that many years, being a female and having a lot of love for the dude, and then all of a sudden finding out that he – allegedly, but obviously there must have been some
real.
You're not just gonna fire. You're not gonna fire somebody.
I don't have any complaints about what's happening right now. I really don't, because they're not companies I work for. They're not companies that represent me or I represent them in any way, shape, or form. Charlie Rose was, and I will say, was my favorite news person probably on the planet. As far as I watch CBS News every morning, I still watch it without him, but that's only been a couple of days. But
right.
he does this, Your World in 90 Seconds. And I would watch that, if I could, twice in the morning. I wake up at 7 or so, and I watch right. that, drink a cup of coffee, and I watch it again at 8. And sometimes the news will have changed dramatically in that amount of time. And now yeah. it's in that short amount of time between 7 and 8 this morning, I found out Matt Lauer was the next one. And so I'm yeah. like, oh, my God. So I split right over to their channel, and they're in the middle of giving their little speech about, you
yeah.
know. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't have a problem with what's happening. What I have a problem with is I would like a little bit more information.
Yeah.
Not about the accusers, but about what exactly we're talking about here.
Right.
If, and it's also, I recognize, none of my damn business.
But it's still what you would like.
It doesn't mean I wouldn't like it.
Yeah, I'm the same. I mean, everybody wants to hear all the juicy details, but and it would also make you feel a little bit more, you know, okay.
like I agree with this.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I
oh,
see
I see why.
Why.
But he should have lost his job for that.
Somebody accuses somebody of something, and you don't see the proof. Then you know, in your eyes, it's like, well, what if he didn't do it, or
right.
what if she didn't do it? I mean, it doesn't have to be just sexual assault. It's an anything.
Sure, sure. Know, it doesn't just have to be sexual assault. I mean, like Mel Gibson lost most of his career over like anti-Semitic comments
yeah.
and stuff.
But weren't those recorded? Or
yeah, well, he had a couple different things. I don't know if the cop one was. I think it was like a body cam or something.
Something had – I believe – I don't remember hearing it or seeing it, but I just feel like I heard that it was something that was like solid evidence that he
and
was saying.
And then his ex-wife was like – they were getting a divorce, and he was saying some horrible things on the phone over – he was like, I hope you get raped by a pack of niggers. I think it's what he said. And
I
was
think
like,
I remember.
I was like, that's a bit aggressive.
That's – yeah, I remember.
But I mean
that,
it's like
yeah.
if what you're trying to do – is say
was
the
that
most...
him or was that?
So you were saying you have a talent for being a real jerk at times.
When I was a younger person,
yeah, so I think that's what he was displaying there because I've always felt you shouldn't hold somebody to like some really high account when
right.
they're saying something when they're drunk or in a matter of love duress, right? Because those are the two things that'll get you to say some. I mean, say or do some of the
right.
most heinous shit known to man.
Yeah.
Under the influence of alcohol or under the influence of love.
Or just being pissed off.
Yeah.
You know, about something that...
Or, yeah, being pissed off or in love and add alcohol to the mix or any kind of really
yeah.
mood-altering substance.
No.
I don't know that anybody's ever, like, gone on a shooting spree after smoking weed.
Not that I've heard of. I don't know.
I'm sure, like, what's happened is, like, some dudes are hitting a blunt and then they go do a drive-by shooting or something like that. But I don't think that that's the same.
That's what caused them to do it. They were already going to do it.
That's technically
probably, right.
that's technically guerrilla warfare at that point, I think. I wonder what made me think violence was a good way to go with this one.
I don't know. We did go some hardcore violence.
We did. Well, we
I mean,
started off with
the
hard
way.
I heard the N-word like 14 times before the
yeah,
podcast
that was
really
a very,
got kicked in.
Aggressive rap. But I just, when I heard it, I was just like, okay, that was kind of interesting. And it was, I thought, lyrically, you know, it's... Poetry.
He's a good rapist.
Yeah, and
he is good
poetry,
at the rapping, and the poetry was on point. And I would, my mind is still slightly blown that it's not a white dude,
right? Yeah.
Because he sounded
he
so...
did sound like one, but I just assumed after I seen the dude with the hat on and the big belt, I was like, oh, he's lip syncing. And then I was like, I just assumed it was a black dude.
That's so
without
weird,
doing the research.
Man. Yeah, yeah, well, it's funny. I'm glad we got to do that part of the research together.
Yeah,
together.
That was so fun
here on the podcast. What do you got going on? You've been hitting it pretty hard here lately with the comedy. What you doing? What you doing this week? What you doing next week?
You know, I got a few things coming up. I got with Donnie Baker, December 15th in Portland, Indiana, and I do this show with Adam Garman, who's a hilarious comic out of. Well, this show is going to be in Portsmouth. Is it Portsmouth or Port William? Yeah, Port William. It's a country club in Port William. I've done it twice, so I'm really knowledgeable about it. I can really tell you where the hell it is. But it's one of the funnest shows I've done. And it was me and Jay the one time. It might have been me and Jay both times. And Adam's hilarious. I don't know if you ever seen him or heard of him.
Was he on that last Falcon Club show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, and he's got the stutter, and
right.
he's just a hilarious, good dude, too. I mean, he's just a country boy. Just a good old country
just
boy.
Just a good old boy.
Him and his brother. He's got a twin brother.
Never
also...
meaning no harm. Yeah, he's got a twin brother.
Yeah, and they both stutter the exact same way. And they're both hilarious.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. That's what I've heard.
But Adam's really good. But he puts on – he's gotten me on quite a few shows in the last couple of years, man. And I love doing shows with him and for him because they're always good. And, you know, you get paid. So that's
I love
fun.
Doing a show with Donnie Baker, that's for sure.
Yeah, of course. That's always great. I mean,
I've never had a bad one. And that's one of those things working with him, like the first time I ever worked with him, it was huge.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
Like 5 years later, I worked with him again. Still huge.
Still, I remember me and Jay were going to do a show. And we didn't even know who the headliner was going to be. It was for that Mike Gardner dude.
Uh-huh.
And when he was in it, won't even get on that subject. But the fact that we were just going to do the show, we find out when we're pulling in the parking lot that it's going to be with Donnie Baker.
Oh, wow.
Which was like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
We didn't, I barely knew, you know, I knew who he was, but I'd never seen him or, now all of a sudden I'm opening for him, Jay's featuring, and we just got thrown into this.
That's a hell of a wake-up call.
Yeah, it was a country club too, and it was just like any other show.
Packed out 500 people.
Packed, and they 600. Were, I mean, I was like, oh my God, I am the greatest comedian I ever thought I could be.
Oh, man.
Every show that you do with him, man, it's just like, they are fun, dude.
It's so fun, and it's like, I've worked with, I'd like to say, people that are more famous than him, but I've never worked with anybody who kind of brings the whole rock star experience to comedy.
Dude,
nobody. I mean, I've worked with Titus, Rob Schneider.
Yeah.
I mean, like guys who like have legit credits. Bert Kreischer. And Bert Kreischer brings the party. But
right.
This guy like gets treated like a rock star everywhere he goes. And it's different because I think probably what makes it the most different, and plus I have worked with Bert around the country, but Donnie's, most of the stuff I've done with him has been out of a comedy club venue.
It's
bigger than a comedy club.
Yeah,
so
right.
It adds a
everyone.
Certain
I've
layer.
Never done a show with him that's comedy club. It's always been
one-nighter. Yeah,
you know,
BFW concert hall type.
And that's
shit.
Like those, you know, and that's his. See, he's a rock star to that, to those. You know, the only person.
Oh, you know what it is? It's because he's like a radio personality, and so those are all rocker people.
And he's got that just that vibe of being that country.
Yeah.
There's just a he's cult. It's like a cult. He's like a cult.
It is. It's a cult phenomenon.
And because some people think that that's who he really is. Like, I've talked to more than one person that think that him on stage is who he is off stage.
Oh, I know.
And I'm like, and he couldn't be farther from the truth. Dude.
Bro,
he is so, I mean, you know.
I was doing the meet and greet with him the last time I worked with him. We were doing a meet and greet, and this lady was crying. Like, she was crying before, when she found out she was going to get to meet Donnie Baker. And then when she did, they're taking the picture, she was, eyes were just squirting out tears. She was like,
the best. That's
just
amazing,
super happy,
man.
I mean, it's like, and I'm sitting here thinking, I'm just like sitting back in the back or whatever, and I'm like, and I get to hang out with them,
right?
You know, after you leave,
you're
I'm still
crying,
gonna be here.
She's crying.
So I'm stick my tongue out at her, like, cry that bitch. He mine. You can hang him.
Oh, but to see him in just his regular clothing, he's like wearing a golf. He looks like he's just a golfer.
He is so opposite.
Yeah, he is not like his ideals and everything that he says on stage. I'm sure he believes in none of that stuff.
The first time I hung out with him, we did the show, and then we were at Jack Preston's barbecue
the
next day. It was just like me and Donnie. I don't remember who else was there. Jack. Maybe Ter Hunes. I don't remember who was there. But we were talking, and he was like the most humble dude. He's like, dude,
super good dude.
I feel
yeah.
kind of guilty about how successful this is because, like, I don't like that guy. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's like, I wasn't friends with that guy. We didn't hang out in high school. He's like, yeah. I'm doing an exact parody of a guy I don't like. And I was like,
which makes it kind of cool in some way, which probably makes it why he's so good at it on top.
Partially
plus, he's
that,
just a talented guy.
That,
man.
And he was already touring as a comedian. He was like a comedian. He was like us.
Yeah.
He was
he
like
said
a,
the first night he did Donnie Baker, he didn't go back as himself again.
Really?
Yeah. He said it was like people lost their mind. He said that was it. First time he did Donnie Baker character. Now, I don't know if he, you know, if he'd ever went and done it, but I think that was it.
I mean, I think same thing happened with Dice, Andrew Dice Clay. Like, Dice Man was just an impression of several impressions he would do. And then one night, Dice Dice Man really went on in his own thing for a while, and he was like, hey, that's who I am. That changed everything.
Yeah, he's selling out Madison Square Garden. Wasn't he the first person to ever sell it out, or the only person?
For comedy?
Yeah, no, to sell out at Madison Square Garden.
It's been done since then.
But I think he was the first. Something to do with that, but I loved him back in the day.
I was never that big of a fan of the Dice Man, but I am a fan of his mystique and character and legend and everything
and plus,
that he is.
I was like 17, 18, so that was like cool to be like,
oh God, you were old. We were like 15.
What's in the bowl?
Well, yeah, my friends were like, this is, I was still listening to like Raw and Delirious.
Right. And I was into those too. Yeah. Those were still my, favorites that was, to this day.
Stephen Wright was, and George Carlin. So it was probably like Stephen Wright, then George Carlin, then Eddie Murphy mixed with Dana Carvey on TV. I remember watching Dana Carvey on like Nickelodeon.
Right.
And being like, oh my God. This is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Didn't like his stand-up, though. I didn't really care.
Oh, man, his stand-up. Like, he would do all the, like, all of his stuff on Saturday Night Live was funny, but that all came from his stand-up.
Yeah. And he's got some great impersonations, man. He's a great all-around live character.
I tried to watch him do stand-up recently. Maybe if I saw it live. That's the thing I say now instead of saying I wasn't impressed with it is they had to be there. Because I do believe that sometimes you have to actually be in the room to appreciate what's happening with a stand-up.
Yeah, you can't. And I, when I say I don't like it, just wasn't for me. Because I don't ever, like, there's rarely anybody I can ever be like, they're just not good. You're not a good comic. I mean, that to me is an arrogant thing to say.
Sure, like about, you're the judge of what's funny.
Right, yeah. That's just not really. But who were we talking about? Oh, Dice Clay, and then I got about Donnie Baker. I was asked a question, and it's a question for you too, because I was kind of stumped on it. But asked me, would you want to be a character and not be yourself?
Absolutely.
And make it and be famous like that. And I said at first yes, but then I got to thinking, dang, if I thought of it, you know, if it was my character and I did it and I created it. Then, but it would almost just be like, it's not, you know, it's not your regular stuff.
I have a guy that I do, I've been doing, I call him Michigan Man right now, but it's, you know, when I do like my country accent, like I did a much more refined version of that for the Great Debate last year, and then I did it again this year, and I struggled with whether or not I was going to redo the voice again, and I did redo the voice, and you know, do you know who Nikki, the Nikki from Columbus,
Glazier?
No,
she's from St. Louis, isn't she?
Yeah.
Her.
What is her last name? I can't remember. It's escaping me. She's really beautiful. She's pregnant now.
Oh, Winkleman.
Yes, Winkleman.
Yeah.
So she's on the Michigan side or whatever, and she had done a joke about being pregnant or whatever, and since becoming a Michigan fan, she had gotten pregnant. And so I was like later on, I was maybe two or three comics after her, and I got up there, and the first thing that came to mind, which wasn't anything I had written down or anything like that, was y'all give it up for me and Nikki's baby, which was just Matthew Perfect. Davis Daly was there, and he was like, oh, that's pretty funny. But I'm dropping all kinds of bombs over here. But that was why I decided I was going to do that voice again. And I've loved it. I feel transcendent when I do that voice. I don't know how else to really describe it, but I feel almost as though here's the advantage of being a character, and I don't necessarily mean 100% divergent from who you are, like Donnie Baker is divergent from who he is as a citizen. But when you really know what you're going to say, and when you really know, when they really know who you are, you have the most success. So like this guy, Sebastian Maniscalco, he's one of my favorite comics. He's on the Forbes list of most successful comics last year. He has a very defined, like kind of Italian character who's very particular. You know, he's very attitude driven.
Does he do it the whole time, or is that something that he brings out?
No, it's like
that's not truly him then?
It is, but it's a magnification.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's like he's doing a character, and it's very physical. He's not really that physical in his real life, and he's not that magnified. Although he is, like, if you listen to his podcast or whatever, you can tell that that is who he is at his core. It's just he's not, he's overdoing it. And so that's what I mean. It's like, so now when I watch him do stand-up and he brings up a premise, I'm like, oh, I bet I know how he's going to feel about this. And then he does feel that way about it. Now it's like, I was right. He does feel that way about it. And it's double funny because I'm like on the inside of the joke or whatever. And when you have a well-defined character like Donnie Baker or Sebastian or something like that, you feel like you know this person. And I think that's what really most comics struggle with on stage. I know it's really what my number one problem is, if you could say. I mean, I know I'm pretty much a perfect comedian.
Well,
don't argue with me. I struggle with them knowing who I am. Like, oh, I know a guy like this, or I know a guy just like that, because I don't feel like they know a guy just like me. I don't necessarily want to be a guy just like they know, but I do need to be familiar enough to be relatable.
Yeah,
and I think I'm too black for some white people and too white for some black people.
Hence, you're mixed.
Hence, my dilemma.
Oh God, Lord, yeah, but you have to think about, you know, being on stage like with me, like I'm still, I struggle sometimes with how far I want to take certain, like, you know, dancing or singing. I mean, it's still always something that, you know, I'll do because I know it works, and it is me though.
Yeah.
But it's also, I mean, I'm not just out dancing around the.
Yeah. No, I would say that that's been the biggest key to your recent meteoric rise to the bottom. I mean, but when you came out, like, you were like negative something, and then now you're like flirting with one or two.
I was in the trunk. Now I'm in like the cubby of the back.
Yeah.
With the window in the.
Right. You're inside the car now. Yeah, let's just say you're inside the car somewhere.
On the back window. I'm burning up hot when the sun rolls. I'm like
sitting
that,
on the hump.
I'm like that stuffed animal that you put back in the.
You got to sit up there on the speaker shelf in the back, way yeah, back seat. Well, is that you've really examined the space of. Because I don't think you've ever been afraid of being a clown on stage. Which I would say there is, and I don't mean clown in a negative term at all.
No,
I mean, like, as in a professional, what clown, there's clown college, you know, there's no comedian college, but being as ridiculous as you can be with what it is you're doing, because it is somewhat ridiculous, you know what I mean? And then and the dancing, for whatever reason, dancing for me on stage is like, I'd rather take my pants off. You know what I'm saying? Then be seen dancing. And I don't know why. I know I can't dance, but it's also one of those things where it's like, nobody expects me to be good at it.
Right.
So why would I care? But for whatever reason, it's like to be able to be that brave. It's like Ellen coming out in her show, dancing at the beginning of every show. It's almost like once you've done what you're so afraid to do, your bottom is much, much more grounded. You know what I mean? It's almost like, how far can I fall from here? Not very far. And I think that's why I need to incorporate some level of acknowledging my fears in order to get in touch with who it is I actually am. I think I'm trying to come out of the closet right now to you.
This is taking a turn for me.
Just so afraid to see.
I want to hold your hand right now, but then I don't want you to. I want to come over and put my arm on you.
But I don't want you to take it the wrong way.
I don't know what to do. Can I have your permission?
That's true, because I will make.
I
came out to Doug, and then he tried to molest me instantly.
A straight man can't sexually assault a straight man. Can he?
I mean, I guess he can, but. Only if both of them didn't want to do it.
Well.
You know what I mean? Like, the straight man didn't want to assault, and the other straight man didn't want to be assaulted. Then I think that could be a situation. Or maybe they both have to want
it. Why would he do it if he didn't want to do it?
I don't have the answers to these questions, Doug. I'm just saying, like, what in a legal setting, you know, what we're going to be faced with. Dude, did I tell you what I did last time I was at Liberty, and I thought, I was driving down there, and I was listening to this song, and I was like, I want to come out to this.
Of the closet? I thought you just did
no
that.
Come out on stage, and they asked that if they asked me, maybe I'll come out to this second to yeah. Okay, so I was like, this has got like some good energy, but listen to the words because I think it was. I was trying to do like an emotional piece. So you get the picture, basically, is what I'm saying.
Do this at a VFW in the country. That's where you got to do it at the most whitest venue.
When he says, hoes like you and you, you get nothing, bitch, but the honor to come and suck a dog's dick. So when he says, hoes like you and you, I pointed out two girls in the audience. But I was up on the stage, just kind of holding the mic stand, dancing, and they were just looking at me like, what
so
the?
So you did do you did
I did do this.
This. Okay.
And they were just looking at me like, what the hell are
what
you doing?
In the
what is this music?
That's what I'm saying right
and
now.
And this one girl was kind of sitting there like bumping her head. Like I was like, yeah, it's a good song, right? And then like even her, she was like, oh, that gets a bit aggressive. So then I had to like kind of dig out of a hole. But I did kind of like this whole thing. And I was like, I was trying to make it seem like this is our – we got to say goodbye to songs like this. Classics.
Because
works of art.
Right.
Because of this
yeah,
new
– Billboard hit. Yeah.
Do you know this
turning.
Almost made the Billboard mentions?
It almost got graffitied on a billboard.
It almost got graffitied on the back of a billboard that they were going to be in concert at a bar down the street one time. And, yeah, I don't remember what I was doing, but I remember what it did do was start me off in a big hole. And I kind of had to work my way out of it with weirdness. And then I was like, okay, I either did okay or that was kind of a weird crowd. And then I watched Gabe Kia go up and he did good, but I was like, that's a weird crowd. Then Jay went up and did okay. He did good to start. It was crushing it from the beginning, but
right.
Then took a left turn on crowd work.
On some crowd work, buddy.
Like, I've never seen crowd work go quite so bad. Although that being said, I know crowd work has gone way worse. It's just
right.
I've never seen Jay bring a guy on stage for shots and then seen that same person get kicked out. You know?
Yeah.
Like that's and there was a good amount of time in between those two occurrences. So it was
well, it's rare that it goes bad when he it's rare that his crowd work goes bad, but I've seen there'd be instances where it just because of the person too, like he's doing what he does, he's getting the person, but
yeah.
The person don't fall in line with they still just keep running their mouth and they thinking that they're being part of the show and that they're funny.
You get, yeah, somebody sometimes people don't get the theatrics of it all.
Yeah, so it's a but 90% of the time, 99% of the time that he's up there just putting it on him. Just.
The last time before this last time I saw him, I've never seen anybody do it quite that well. I mean, he brought a guy up on stage. He was like, it was this black dude. He's standing off by the corner of the stage. He's like, hold my beer. And then he comes, he's like getting all mad. He's doing that mad walk back and forth. He's like, come on, Carol, I'm going to get you, whatever. He goes, pour some beer in my mouth. And he just leans over and sticks his jaw out. Like, and the dude pours a little bit of beer in his mouth. You know, I mean, it was clowning to the 100th degree. I mean, by a factor of 100, I've never been that ridiculous on stage. It was one of those things where I was like, you couldn't script this if you wanted to. But that's what he does best.
Yeah.
Is that in the moment. Like, hell, when he came out here to the party, he fucking, all he did was hold court the whole time with running bits
running
on everybody.
On everybody.
Roasty toasty. So hell he does. Jason Otter. Powerful Jason Otter. Come fix my lawnmower, you motherfucker.
Yeah. Come on.
I ain't even
come
got long.
The grass at the second shelf.
Come pick up this ladder. It's turning into two ladders. That's how long it's been here. It got kid folk now. It got babies.
You got little kickstands. Little
footstools.
Footstools. Come on, man. Kickstand. You get what I'm saying. Foot, kick.
Hell. He done runned off with the neighbor's ladder. Now got me a step ladder.
Hell,
I was waiting for it. Give me some goddamn
red
respect.
One. It was a red laddered step ladder.
It was a red-headed step ladder. Oh, Jay, we miss you. You see how bad the comedy's gotten?
Yeah, buddy.
I got the goddamn
we
Doug
could use
Morgan
your levity
here.
Right now, bro. Where are you at? Coming in hot down 35. You know that, Doug.
Oh, man. Did you see the video I posted online of the guy getting towed by a truck and then on like a BMX bike? Looks like he might be 8 or 9.
Shut up.
Who's getting towed? Hits this ramp and then... hell, I could probably pull it up faster than I could explain it. Hits
the kid was getting towed on the bike. Okay, for a second, I was picturing this kid towing this truck on his. From the bike. That's the strongest
yes,
kid in the
it's
world.
It's the strongest child known to man. No, it's a kid getting towed by a truck on his bicycle, and then he hits a ramp, and.
They're doing it on purpose.
It's like a
they're
gift.
Skiing. Oh, yeah.
I love it. I could just watch this over and over.
Slow-mo.
It's like at the last second he throws it away because it's coming
dude.
in too hot, noseworthy. Ah!
Done. Gone. He's knocked out too.
I mean, I wish I could see like 5 more seconds of the video.
Oh my god! Yeah.
He totally misses that return ramp. He overshoots it completely.
It's almost like he gets jerked by the.
I think what he does is he leans too far forward. Trying to come down into this return and can't pull it back. All he had to do is sit back a little bit.
So wait, is there a rope onto him, or is he just was he holding?
I can't quite tell what's causing the toe.
Okay, so there's no, yeah.
But the it might not even be a toe. He might just be wheeling.
Maybe
it.
That was a camera that they were getting another angle.
That's what that kid is. He's a cameraman in the truck. That's really what's going on there.
Well, we figured that out, didn't we? It only took us 97 shots.
Hey, Inspector Gagey, come over here with your penny and their dog. We got this crime solved.
Well, it's a shame that this isn't a live stream video.
Yeah, you'll have to go to totallyunrelated.com or anywhere else on the internet and look up Kid Overshoots It. I don't know if that's what but
kid eats pavement.
Somebody posted, thrown it down on the thread because I was like, this is what I'm into now or something was my post on it. And somebody posted, coming in too hot. And I was like, oh, that's even better.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that is.
Yeah.
It's coming in hot, personified with a movie.
Mm.
Well, Doug, we have had a good time here.
This was a good time. I enjoy being back and I'll share this on the Doug Morgan page.
Oh, well, that
Follow
ought to
me
get
if you
us
guys
a,
want.
That ought to get a couple extra people to unfollow us.
I'm trying to really step up my social media game.
I've noticed
and get a little
that.
Bit,
yeah.
A little bit. I've got some ideas. I'm thinking about like doing a different video every day of just different things, like one of me dancing or one of me singing, one of me lip syncing, one of me a kid video with my, you know, just trying to do something variety of things just to make it more. You know, but you got to do something every day, man. It's hard to keep up with it.
I don't think so. Here's if you say so.
Right.
It is hard. It is hard if you say it's hard to keep up with it.
Right.
If you do it in a terms of what I think for me, the only way I would be able to accomplish it is sort of similar to the way I do this podcast is there's a certain level of journalistic excellence that I adhere to. But if it's not there, like for instance, sound quality, if the sound is just really shitty, you know, like obviously we've got your voice to contend with this week.
Oh, God.
Then I won't release it. But other than that, it's got to be pretty much every week. And I know people are like, you don't do it every week. It's like it's at least 3 times a month,
right.
and usually 4 times a month. And I think the most important thing is like letting go of some expectation that this has to be better than the last one or whatever. It just is what it is.
Yes,
and
content
is
more important, is what I've heard.
Yeah, I think just the exercise of doing it. So my challenge to you on November 29th is. Take a couple days to think about this and then start December and make it a challenge that you do in December. Like, I know this one would never work for you, but for me in December, all every day of the month of December, I'm going to be a man. So I know that that's way over your head.
A
but...
man that lays with another man. Which is totally cool.
Which
Can
is
I
totally
come over
okay.
and put my arm
I'm
going to
be okay with it, though. That's the difference. I'm going to be okay with it this time. No, but you could do that. That'd be a great thing to do in December is to just be like, look, I'm just – because what I found from Sober October was, one, 31 days that October was, wasn't shit. It was really pretty fast. And November went even faster. And
yeah, because you were drunk the whole month.
I said, well, because I just went straight for the H, right? Is this – You mind if I tie off
I don't
here?
Even remember November after October.
It's Denny's. Why can't I tie off? I got a booth. ordered coffee.
A Grand Slam biscuit sandwich.
Moon's over my heroin. Come on. Yeah, so I that would be my challenge to you. What I actually am going to do in December is Joe Rogan's doing a new one, and I'm going to kind of bite off of his, which is work out 5 days a week, and he's going to be eating no grains or anything. I'm going to stick mine to working out 5 days a week, but also eating only meat and vegetables. No
fruits.
Maybe some fruits, because like tomatoes technically a fruit, I think.
Yeah.
And so I'll probably eat that. But and I might eat an apple here or there. But my goal is to stay away from sugar as much as I can. And I might go into cardiac arrest from just trying this. And I'm going to give up coffee. And if you know anything about me, I drink. Well, I've had about 8 cups today already.
Really? I did not know that about you. I didn't know you drink coffee.
I mean,
to that extent, I didn't. You know.
I usually don't drink it after like 5 p.m. But if it's like if I got stuff to do after 5 p.m., yeah, I'd be drinking it. So yeah, that's going to be the hardest one. So I'm going to really have to wean myself off in the next couple of days. 2 days.
Yeah, because don't that like give if you're addicted to caffeine, like severe headaches, doesn't it?
It can, but you know, I've gone days. Like, there's been times when I just didn't have coffee because like you're staying in a condo somewhere. It's like, I'm not going to walk to go get coffee, you know, or a hotel or something like that. I don't want to go down there and get. And it's not like it ever gets to a point where I'm like, I got to get some coffee in me. It's just that I just like a hot beverage. But I have to imagine that the caffeine is taking its toll in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah,
I think it might be affecting
some people have different reactions to different.
All drugs affect all people slightly differently. And that's just a fact that nobody's got the exact same chemistry. And caffeine is one of those drugs that I feel like I'm not getting my full benefit out of. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like if I quit for 30 days drinking caffeine, having a cup of coffee is going to be like cocaine.
Right.
Especially how strong I like my coffee.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm looking for. I mean, I'd like to be able to drink a cup of coffee and be like, that was the buzz I was looking for. Instead of like drink a cup of coffee and be like, that was hot.
Yeah.
Because that's usually how I feel. That was hot.
Need 7 more of these to fulfill my caffeine zone.
Yeah, I'm probably I don't even want to say addicted to caffeine. I think it's almost like I'm caffeine neutral.
Yeah, because you don't find it in other sources. Do you drink it in anything else besides coffee?
I used to drink Red Bull, but that got to be like, I started craving Red Bull. Like, I'd, like, find a reason to leave the house to get a Red Bull. And then I ran into a guy while I was buying Red Bull, and he was like, I used to be like you. And I was like, what? I mean, he's like an old white dude with white hair. He was like, I'd leave the house just to get a couple Red Bulls, and then I come home. And I started thinking, like, I think I might be addicted to these things. He's like, it's hard as hell to quit. They're everywhere. And I was like, so it made me think about two things. One, I might be addicted to them, which I probably was glimpsing that, so I stopped drinking them. And two, addiction, the hardest things to quit are the things you have easy access to.
Makes sense.
You know, like cigarettes. You can buy those just about anywhere. That's what I think makes it so hard to quit. If you went somewhere where there was just no cigarettes.
She can pick them up off the ground like they do on the east side down by my shop, buddy. They ain't afraid to pull. You throw one out the window. You see one getting flicked out the window. Boy, here comes somebody. Just pick it right up off the curb, still lit. Just smoke the bottom of the filter with
I've
that.
I've had more people, like when I would smoke cigarettes, I've had people, more people than I can remember. Not often, but they'd be like, hey, when you're almost done, can I finish that?
After it's like, all wet and juicy.
And I bite the end of my cigarettes, too. I mean, it's like I make love to
I'm not going to be polite to this cigarette just because you're going to be finished.
Right.
I'm not going to leave it to you.
Let me put my wax lips on.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it like I do the rest of my cigarettes.
I'm going to smoke it with my cooch.
It's going to get it. It's going to get it. And you're going to smoke
it. You know I smoke it with my pee hole. Come on. You know how I do it. I ain't going to change it just because I'm about to give it to a stranger. That was probably the hardest. Yeah, that was. I'm sorry. I apologize if that was.
That went really.
That went over the line.
I'm usually the one that takes things too far. You've.
It's my podcast, so I sort of feel like I need to. Plus, you might be a recurring feature of a spot on this, so I feel like I got to break you in.
I mean, if you wanted to get some views or some clicks,
well, I'm looking to get. What I'd like to do is just restart, basically, go back to zero, and I figure having you on the next couple episodes,
ground zero would be a very.
We'll have them all wiped out.
Go bottom of the barrel,
and then we'll just start off with your listeners. And my only concern is that the people you bring to the cast is if they know how to read.
They don't. That's why they got to just listen.
They just listen. You just like draw a picture of how to download the cast.
Yeah. The link will just be just hit the blue.
I pushed my finger where, Doug? On the screen.
No, pull my finger, I said. Oh, shit, wrong thing.
You got to download that iTunes. 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 iTunes.
We won't worry about
it. iTunes. That's what it is.
iTunes.
iTunes. That's the iTunes.
iTunes.
iTunes. All right, well, that was fun.
It was a good time. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
Thanks for being here, and thanks for me. I know you had to drive like 16 hours to get here just to
buddy,
do this.
Anything for this podcast. And
hopefully we can go video next week. I'm going to order all the stuff soon. And I'd like to go. Here's what the thing was. This is inside pool here. But I saw some people that had Dan Dean was posting his podcast to Facebook as a video, so it would play within Facebook without you even having to leave Facebook. And so I thought, oh, well, how did he do that? So I just went and figured out how to do that with mine, and I did it last week, and that got hundreds of more views.
Yeah, the easier access. Hundreds of more views. That's why it's weird putting stuff on YouTube and then trying to download send the YouTube to your Facebook. It's better just to straight videotape for videotape.
Yeah.
Video straight onto
you just get
Facebook.
Your handy cam straight onto Facebooks.
Man.
Yeah, I agree. And so that's what I would like to do is I would like to have the podcast be the podcast, but I would like to videocast it directly to Facebook Live.
Yeah.
When we're doing it. And at least 30 minutes of it.
Give them a little tease. Give them a little taste.
Some little skirt.
Give them the tip. I mean, just the tip of the tip.
I said I had tip.
We went straight back to
straight back to the gutter.
Your pee hole and the cigarettes and the guys. This isn't really what it's going to be all about when I'm like that. I'm really a lot more mature.
You ain't
this.
No Jay Snyders. I know that.
Yeah,
but together we can channel his ghost. Maybe he can be third Mike.
We'll bring him in. I'll get him in on
here. Find him a spot on the show.
Find a little spot.
Find him a little spot on the show.
Send him a lap, little buddy.
Send him have him send in his avails. see if we can accommodate. Thanks for listening, everybody. Love you, and stay unrelated.
Peace.
Dance the night away, but when I see the rain come
for listening. Download more episodes from the Podbean app. Also available at iTunes and Stitcher or at totallyunrelated.com.